Good morning. Glad to see all of you here on this beautiful Lord's Day, and I'd like to welcome all of our visitors. Glad that you could be here with us. Why do people choose to lie instead of telling the truth? And there are many reasons why people lie, but one of the biggest reasons is to stay out of trouble, to not get in trouble. Children, and I've seen this on TV shows, I've seen this in real life, I've done it as a kid. We all have lied at some point in our life. But we do it to stay out of trouble. We don't want to take responsibility for what we really did, because when one lies, they're not being honest. And so when we look at lying, many in our world, some of them don't even care. I've heard people say, well, they just told a little white lie. Well, there's nothing little about lying. Lying is lying. It's a sin. It's something Christians should not do. We should be honest. We should have integrity. We should do what is right. We should take responsibility. I've learned throughout my time growing up, if you're just honest, it's usually not that bad. But if you're caught in a lie and they know you're lying, it's going to be a whole lot worse. You know, when parents tell you, be honest, you better be honest. Because if you lie and they find out, you're not going to be able to sit for a week. Or you may lose a lot of things that you care about. Punishment will be a whole lot less if one would just be honest. If we would just get it through our thick skulls. People will respect you for being honest and not lying. You'll see that people will learn to trust you, and they will look at you as being honest. This guy here owns up to when he makes mistakes. This person tells the truth. They respect those people a whole lot more than liars. But we also must remember that there are consequences for lying. As we look at Acts chapter 5, our main text, we have a couple here, husband and wife, duo, Ananias and Sapphira. And we're going to look into this text and see that there are some consequences, very bad consequences that come their way for lying. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself. With his wife's full knowledge and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? Were they wrong? Were they in the wrong for holding back a certain portion? That's not why they were in trouble. Because as you look down verse 4, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your authority? Why is it that you laid this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. They were not in trouble for holding back a certain portion, but they lied to, not man, but to God. You know, lying to man can get you far. Because we don't know your heart. I don't know your heart. You could lie to me all you want, and I may never catch on. But there is one who you cannot lie to, and that is God. Because as we see, God knows all that we try to hide. He knows all. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are uncovered and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we have an account to give. The writer to the Hebrews, there's nothing you can hide. Everything's made clear to God. He can see all things. You know, I think about the game hide and seek. If you came to my house and you wanted to play hide and seek, I know that house backwards and forwards. There may be some certain spots that I don't like to go into. Because of spiders and everything else. But I would find you eventually. It may take me a little bit, but I would find you because I know every square inch of that house. The same goes for God. This is his creation. There's no one or anything that is hidden from him. He can see all things, even in the blackest of night. He sees all. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. We may be able to hide it from people, but not God. Psalm 139, verse 7. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I lift up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will bruise me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not too dark for you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Wherever we go, God is there. You know, I think back to Jonah. The reason Jonah was running from his responsibility to go to Nineveh and to preach to them, because he didn't think they deserved forgiveness. They didn't deserve a chance to repent. But my next question is, why did you run? Where do you think you would have went and God wouldn't have been there? I mean, he's out in the middle of the ocean on a ship. God knew exactly where he was. And we see a storm rages. And eventually, they're going to sink. But Job told the man, just throw me overboard and you'll be fine. You'll be safe. And even in the belly of a giant fish, God knew he was there. God had placed him there. So why lie to God? God knows everything. Why think you are wiser than God? Why think you could possibly get away with anything? Once again, we see with Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit about giving all to the church at that time. They kept some back. And Ananias was not the only one involved. His own wife knew his plans. Every husband and wife, we know each other. We know each other well. My wife, I've told her how, and this sounds bad, but like, you know when I fib, because I can't keep a straight face. I would be bad at gambling. I really would. I'd be bad at poker. I don't play it. Just saying, I'd be bad at it. But once again, lying is wrong. And so we're going to look now, my second point, the consequences for lying. And for Ananias and Sapphira, it will cost them their life. As we see in verse 4, or verse 5 here, and verse 6, Acts chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard. And the young man rose up and wrapped him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Ananias would be struck down because he had lied to God. He had sinned against God. But it wouldn't be too long. About 3 hours would pass before his wife would be questioned. Verse 7, now there was an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in not knowing what had happened. We see here in verse 8, Peter gives her a chance to tell the truth, to be honest. And Peter responded to her, tell me whether you were paid this much for the land. And she said, yes, that much. Sadly, she would follow her husband and keep the lie going. And Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. Verse 10. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And a young man came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things. The husband would lose his life, and the wife would lose her life because they chose to carry on with this lie. If his wife would have just been honest and said, no, we received this much for the land and we only gave you half. We only gave you some of it. I think everything would have been well. But she chose to go on with this lie. We know that today for us, there is coming a day of judgment when we will die a second time if we are not in Christ. And that death is far worse than a physical death. That is the second death that we face, the spiritual death. In Revelation 21:8, we are shown how serious God takes lying. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What frustrates me is when people tell children, oh, it's just a little white lie, don't do it again. What is little about it? God takes it seriously. You know, we go back to Rahab who would lie to the men sent to her to hide the spies. Was she right for lying? No. It was still wrong. Lying is lying. Because I'll tell you, God could have gotten those men out if he wanted to. Even if she would have told them, yes, they're up there, God would have found a way. God would have still taken Jericho because we can't limit God. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. Now, Rahab, of course, was spared. She was saved. Her faith was strong. She had faith in who Yahweh was. And of course, she was not a Jew. She was not an Israel. She would have not known the law of Moses. But still, she is mentioned in Hebrews 11 for her faith, not for the lies. No matter what situation, we are called to be honest. We are called to tell the truth. Because as a Christian, it should be in our minds that if we sin, all sin, every sin separates us from God. That includes lying. God does not like liars. Just like he doesn't like the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and he doesn't like any of these sins. All sins are terrible in his eyes. All sin are evil in his eyes. The second death that we will face with lying is far worse than the first. We must, as Christians, walk with integrity. We should walk straight, a straight path. We should be honest all of our days. But lying goes farther than just telling a white lie, just lying to stay out of trouble. We have people who will take the word of God and twist it and turn it to fit their beliefs. And they are lying to people. These are men and women who teach and preach the gospel and leading millions to hell. Millions and billions to hell. They are lying behind the pulpit. They are lying about the word of God. James covers, guess what? Some of you ought not to be teachers because there's going to be a stricter judgment. These individuals will find out on the day of judgment because of their lying, their deceiving ways. It's going to be awful. So there are consequences to lying, and not just lying to your parents and not just lying and trying to deceive people. It will cost you everything. I would rather be honest, get a smaller punishment from my parents for being honest than to lie and get the belt or get the switch. Now I'm 32. I'm not too big to get it. But at the same time, think about being honest with God. And that's also with your sins. In 1 John, if we say we have no sins, we're a liar. And we make God a liar. And is God a liar? Absolutely not. God is light, and there is no darkness in God. I thought I would never hear it in my day, and I won't say who it was, but I've heard someone stand up and say, why repent? I have no need to repent. you just lied and you made God a liar. But there are people who think, you know what? I'm not a sinner. I'm good. I pay my taxes. I do right by people. I help people. You do sin. It's in our nature. But because of what Christ did, he came to this earth to die for us and provide us a way to have eternal life. Be honest. I am a sinner. I sin. But because of Christ and what he did, I now have a way to have my sins washed away. I have a way to become clean, to enter into eternal life one day. We are called to walk straight. We are called to walk in a godly manner. Lying will not hide what you did before God. Proverbs 10, verse 9. Proverbs 10, verse 9. It says, he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. He who winks the eye causes pain, and an ignorant fool of loose lips will be ruined. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked covers up violence. It's not just politicians who lie. It's everyday normal people who work a 9-to-5. That lie. Everyone lies to cover their own skin or to cover the skin of someone else. I remember I watched this prison documentary or docuseries called Lock Up. And this couple, they were boyfriend, girlfriend, they lived with this man in his house. They used another room, they slept in another room. They murdered him. Well, he murdered the guy, and he buried his body down in the basement, and he called this woman, who was his girlfriend at the time, and said, I need your help. I murdered this man. Now, any sane person would be like, I'm reporting it to the police. But what does she do? She goes and helps him, and then they lie about it, and they steal his social security checks, and I'm just like, what drives you? And really, once again, it goes back to my point, to stay out of trouble, to not get caught. But that man's brother worked for the prison at that time, and they had to separate and put him in a different part of the jail to keep him separated from those two. But I liked what he said when he got up. This is the only part I liked. But he said, the only reason they feel sorry is because they got caught. You know, I think about children, when they lie and they get caught, they cry, they just, you know, are crying. You're sad because I found out you weren't honest with me. If you were honest with me, everything would be well. But once again, we see here that the ignorant fool of loose lips will be ruined. We know the mouth of the wicked covers up violence, but the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Those who are living a righteous life, they lead others to life. They lead others down the right path. If you're lying and you're caught lying, you're leading people down the wrong path. You're not, from your mouth does not spew words of life. It spews words of death, words of ruin. You know, you think about business people who are crooked, who lie to their buyers. You know, I think about these used car lots sometimes who got vehicles out of floods and they do their best to clean them up and try to do their best to get it running. Once they get running, they'll sell it for like $5,000-$6,000. How long do you think that car will last? Has anybody ever watched the movie Matilda? I'm sure most of people my age have. I love that movie. But her dad was a used car salesman, and he was crooked, and he lied. And I remember one scene of the movie, he took this drill and went up and made the mileage go backwards to make it look like a newer car so he could sell it for more. And I remember the principal, the evil principal in the movie, that lady who tormented the kids, her car broke down. Does that sound like a good man? Does that sound like a man that really should have kids or who may be raising his kids in the right way? No. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, we must meditate on what is good before God. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is dignified, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, consider these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul here is telling the Philippians to sum it up. Whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is godly, whatever is right in his eyes, practice these things. Meditate on these things. And he even says, whatever you have learned, received, and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Do you think Paul lied while he was walking and teaching the gospel to these different places? No. He came with words of honesty, of truth. He was giving them words that would lead them, teachings that would lead them to live a godly life and to eternity one day. We must practice what is good in the eyes of God, and lying is not good in the eyes of God. Sometimes we do get caught up in the world and the way the world does things. And as a Christian, lying is one of those. And we, just because we're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, some of us 90, doesn't mean we can't lie. But we need to watch and make sure that we are always being honest, that we are always telling the truth. Even if someone asks you, what did you do before you were a Christian? Be honest with them. And help them avoid the traps that you fell into. Don't lie. Don't try to cover up. There's nothing wrong with what Ananias and Sapphira did. There is nothing wrong with them holding some back and only giving some. We know God loves a cheerful giver. We know God loves someone who is willing to give. Whatever you can give to the church, that's great. Be honest about it. Don't lie like they did. If they would have just been honest, here is some of the portion we've gotten from this price. Here it is. We're keeping some for ourselves. All would have been well. They'd have been fine with it. God would have been fine with it. But because they chose to lie, to look better, that's another reason people lie, is to make themselves look better in the eyes of the world. The Pharisees and scribes did it. They lied about their intentions. We know through Scripture and what Christ pointed out that the Pharisees and scribes, they were liars, they were hypocrites. They weren't righteous men. And when we confess our sins to one another, when we confess our sins to Christ, be truthful. Now, you're not going to remember every sin you do. But be honest. As a Christian, that's how we win people, is by how we live, how we act, how we talk. If the community or the world knows we're liars and that we lie a lot, do you think we're going to win any soul to Christ? Absolutely not. Every sin, and not just lying, every sin will lead to spiritual death. Any sin that you have in your life right now is separating you from God and leading you to spiritual death. Choose life this day. Be honest. We are called to walk straight, a straight and narrow path, not a crooked and wide path. So this day, put away your lying lips and start being honest, not just with yourself, but with the people around you and with, most importantly, God. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, understand that all sin, the sin that you are living in as of now, is leading you to hell. But Christ came to provide you a way. He came and died to provide you a way to obtain eternal life. And it is only in Jesus Christ in which we can have eternal life. And so choose this day to give your life to Christ. And you will be made white as snow. Your sins will be forgiven. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word. Believe the word that has been preached to you. Repent of your sins, denying oneself, denying your old sinful nature, and turning to God. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. But it doesn't stop there. You must be immersed for the remission of sins. And that is the only way in which our sins can be washed away. For we are put and buried like Christ was. And the blood of Christ comes and washes away our sins. It covers us. It washes. When we raise up out of that water, we are now walking in newness of life. We are perfect in that moment. But it doesn't stop there. We must remain faithful. That means being honest, not lying, telling people the truth. Or if you are a Christian, you have sin in your life as of now. You are separated from God. Make it right this morning. Come and repent. And have a change of heart. And allow the church to pray and encourage you. So if you're here this morning, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.